Today we'll have Kelly B's pre and post trip report. That's coming up on this episode 187 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy ideas and have lots of trip reports for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 187. So this trip report from Kelly is from her trip in August. She had a free dining trip, so lots of dining reservations to be made, and you'll hear how those went afterwards. There's also a couple interesting elements to it that I will save for you to listen to. This trip report is very long, so I don't like to waste too much time here at the front, but I do want to mention a couple things. As always, I do remind you to follow along on social media. I wanted to point out that every social media has a different sort of voice and different purpose. I've mentioned Instagram many times because that's where I tend to post the most frequently and the most live when I'm in the parks. Twitter is just the occasional update and news type item. Facebook is a lot of content. So if you are new and you don't know about a lot of the articles, then you will see a lot of the content and daily or a few times a week questions that often get asked. We post them on Facebook and we have a monthly Q&A. There's also Pinterest, which is obviously the content gets promoted there as well as and sometimes the content from other sites. So if you are a Pinterest user. So anyway, there's lots of social media and they all have different purposes and voices. So just follow along wherever it seems appropriate. I also wanted to mention that patrons have already heard the pre-trip report from this podcast because it was published in August, shortly after it was recorded. And if that's something you're interested in, the link to becoming a patron is in the show notes of every episode. So without any further ado, here is Kelly. Welcome to the podcast, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi. And you and I are speaking on Thursday, August 16th. Yep. Which is presumably right before your trip.
Yeah, we leave actually a week from today.
So what are your exact trip dates?
Our trip dates are August 23rd to August 31st.
Okay. And what made you choose this time of year to go?
Well, it's funny. We had originally booked June because my daughter would have been free. But I was like, it's hot no matter what time you go in the summer. And my son doesn't go back to school until September. So we were able to do a longer trip and hope for free dining and if we moved to August. So it actually ended up being less expensive for us to go for longer and pay for my daughter going in August, and we ended up with free dining. So
okay. So free dining, which yep. is free dining, and you are planning around school schedules.
Yes.
And since your school district doesn't go back until September, this is actually a really great time to go because yeah. a lot of schools are already back.
Yeah, like everyone I know is back or will be going back while we're there. So I'm hoping it'll help with crowd.
Yes, I suspect, and we will talk to you when you get back, but I suspect that you will find that the crowds are very manageable, which is yeah. nice because I think when you have heat and crowds, that is a tough combination. So yeah. you know you're going to have heat.
Yeah,
but you should not have the crowds to worry about. Right. Okay, and you mentioned you got free dining. What hotel are you staying at with your free dining package?
So my family is staying at Art of Animation, and my brother-in-law is coming for like half the time. He's just coming from August 23rd to the 27th, and he is staying at Pop.
Okay, so let's backtrack and see okay. who in your family, you mentioned your kids, but it's yep. you.
It's me and my husband. I have a 7-year-old son, a 3-year-old daughter, my mom, and my mother-in-law.
Three.
And then my brother-in-law also.
Okay. Mother-in-law and mother.
Yeah.
Okay. And then your brother-in-law is staying at Pop.
Yeah.
Okay. And okay, so let's break this down. All right. So the fact that you have 6 people means you are staying at Artem Animation Suite.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
Which section?
Cars. My kids, both of them, are obsessed. So that was a no-brainer.
perhaps the most adorable thing at Disney World.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They're very excited.
And Pop Century is right across the bridge. So your brother-in-law, you'll have easy access to each other.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. I actually love that combo for extended families because Art of Animation is a little different than other resorts in that it's mostly suites, and that doesn't make sense for your brother-in-law.
Right.
But a refurbished room at Pop Century might be just the thing for him. So
yeah, he booked so late, like compared to when we booked, that he ended up getting a great deal. So it just made sense for him to stay there versus like trying to save a couple $100 and stay off property, because it would have been like a wash with Ubers and all of that. So
absolutely. And that's why I stay at Pop Century when I do my solo trips, is that when you do the math, it just makes it hard to justify staying off site.
Yeah.
So, and I think, is he by himself?
Yeah, he's by himself.
Right. So actually Pop Century rooms are perfect when you're by yourself, because that second bed can stay up and it can be used as a desk or a table.
Yeah.
Okay. So that sounds like some good planning to me.
Yeah.
have you guys been before?
The last time we've been was 10 years ago, right after we got married. My husband's Greek, so all his family from Greece wanted to go. so we sort of joked that this is always going to be like our big trip right around our wedding anniversary. But we just really wanted to take the kids. I felt like they were really good ages to do like a first trip. Mm-hmm. And a lot has changed, and we wanted to get in there before Star Wars. Because we will be back for Star Wars, because my family is very Star Wars obsessed, but I wanted to do something less crowded.
Yes. And indeed, I assume the Star Wars crowds will be intense, and the gondolas will be at Art of Animation and Pop Century by then as well.
Yep.
So that'll be a whole new level of interest. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So you are staying for about 8 days, right?
Yep.
Yep. And how did you decide to spread the like parks and plans across those days? Like how many days per park?
So we decided that Magic Kingdom, we would spend the most amount of days in, just because of our kids' ages. So we're doing like 4-ish days at Magic Kingdom. One of our days is our arrival day, and one of the days is a Halloween party day. So those aren't like super full days, but it'll be enough time to get probably everything we want to get done. And then we'll do 2 Hollywood Studios days, 2 Epcot days, and we're not super big Animal Kingdom fans, so we have 1 Animal Kingdom day.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. You might be pleasantly surprised.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay, so I had a feeling you would say lots of Magic Kingdom time, given the ages of your kids. Yes. So that makes sense to me. Do you have special dining? You have the dining plan.
Yep.
So, but you're staying at Art of Animation. So did you upgrade to the regular dining plan, or do you have the quick service?
We did upgrade.
Okay, so free dining with upgrade.
Yeah.
So that means you have lots of table service reservations.
We sure do.
Okay, so what are some of the highlights of your table service reservations?
So we're doing like Chef Mickey's on our arrival day, because that was like, well, my son really wanted to do Chef Mickey's and Be Our Guest, but obviously Be Our Guest changed. So we're like, we'll do Chef Mickey's and we'll do like a lunch at Be Our Guest. So Chef Mickey's, Ohana, some other highlights. We're going to do Sanaa, and then Homecoming and 50s at Hollywood Studios and Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios. And then, like, I don't think we're doing anything in Magic Kingdom except Be Our Guest. Like, most of our Magic Kingdom days, they're outside the parks, just because there's so much we wanted to try.
Yeah, and Magic Kingdom isn't known for their food. I mean, you know, there's some good, like, iconic character meals or whatever, but the food has not been the highlight.
Right.
And you have the, like you said, Ohana, which is, you know, right there, a monorail right away. So it's nice to have that option.
Yeah.
Okay. I made notes about that so I can make sure to ask you how you like those. Did you have any difficulty getting those reservations?
No. And actually, I had originally, before they released the hours for Hollywood Studios, I had booked a pre-park opening at Hollywood and Vine for both of the days that were there, because my son really wants to do the Jedi training. And I ended up dropping them when they changed the hours, which was obviously really late in planning purposes. And I was able to get the 50s prime time for lunch. And I ended up doing like a Brown Derby Fantasmic package, which we're paying for out of pocket because I wasn't worth the two table service credits for me. But I was able to get those pretty late into the planning process. So no problems with any of our reservations.
Yeah. Some of those restaurants you named are really good ones, and they're usually pretty easy to get into. So that was good that you lucked out. And I just want to point out that those early breakfast reservations are really good ones to, in my opinion, skip now at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, yeah. My husband and I talked about it a lot, and I was just like, I don't think they're worth it if we can get in so early. And none of us are like super big breakfast eaters. So it's just like, I feel like it was a waste of a table service for our family.
Yeah. It used to make so much sense. But in the time that you've been planning your trip, things have changed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think it was a good to pivot on that particular decision.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Okay. And you mentioned a little while ago that your son really wanted to be our guest dinner at Chef Mickey. So he's never been before. So how are you keeping the kids involved in the planning process, or how's that working?
My son, like, you know, he'll go on like YouTube and watch all these videos. So I was like, let's watch like, you know, like Disney videos. And so he would watch like all these dining reviews. I say my son, and he's like an 85-year-old man in a 7-year-old's body. But he's just like, that's just like his thing. Like, he loves watching food shows and dining reviews. And so he thought for Be Our Guest, it was like definitely the appeal of the beast was, I think, the big draw for him. But we sort of had to like pivot on that a little bit. And I was like, look at all these other things you get to do. Because I just don't think the menu at Be Our Guest now would appeal to most of my family. Like, I would be fine and my mom would be fine. But I think the rest of my family would be like, no way, we're not wasting two table service or money on this meal. Like, that's just not their style. So I did get a Be Our Guest lunch instead. And I ended up snagging very late a Be Our Guest pre-park opening breakfast, which we'll play by ear if we're going to keep it or not.
Okay. I'm going to make a note of that to ask you about that. All right. And then, so out of curiosity, what YouTube channels does your son watch? A Disney food blog?
Yeah, like the Disney food blog, the Diz. I forget what their name is. Some of yours. I mean, he'll listen to the podcast with me in the car. he likes to be involved in the planning. I think it's really useful so that we don't sign up fast passes or meals for things that he won't enjoy.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, because I know kids are more involved in the planning process. And actually, when I started this podcast, I had no idea kids would listen to it.
Yeah.
So now that I know, I make sure to keep it, friendly for their ears. But that is interesting. That's why I wanted to know about the YouTube channels, because I'm just curious what kids are into. So
he'll watch anything that like seems interesting, that like is really descriptive or has pictures, like, you know, those are just appealing at that age, I think.
Yeah. And it's fun to get them involved. And I think like I was not involved in planning when I was a kid, just like a lot of people aren't, but in my age. But, and also because I wasn't, I don't have a lot of memories of it. Because I think when you're part of the planning, you know what to expect and you remember more about it or something.
Yeah. And I feel like there's just so much more to plan now. Like, I used to go all the time, like not all the time, but every couple years in the summer with my mom. And then, you know, when my husband and I got married, we went. But even when we went 10 years ago, there wasn't like the paper fast passes had just come out that you get at the attraction. So, it's so much more to plan. And I think if your kids are into that kind of thing, like, it's easier to let them be a part of the process.
Yeah, it is. And it's fun too. Because it gives you months and months of things to do together before you get there.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm always interested with the extended families going on the trips. How are you navigating that? Are you all going to be always together? Are you splitting up?
So a little background information. My husband is legally blind. He's been that way since he was 11. So it's easier for us on like big trips like this, because our kids are so young, to sort of have that extra family support. So for the most part, we will stick together. I think And right before I booked our fast passes, I found out that I was pregnant. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. So, I think like the boys, like my son, my brother-in-law, and my husband, like if they want to do rides that I can't do because I'm pregnant or that my daughter can't do because of the height requirements, like they may split off and like do like the big kid rides, which I feel like would be mostly in like Hollywood Studios or Magic Kingdom. But we, for the most part, we plan to stick together, and then maybe a couple nights, my husband, my brother-in-law, and I will all like go out after the kids go to bed or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the perks of having extra hands is that you you can do that. So, you mentioned that you're pregnant, and a lot of people, you know, wonder about how to plan their trips when they're pregnant. So how much did you have to adjust when you found that out?
I mean, for the most part, I just changed a couple fast passes. I had a really long talk. This is my third pregnancy. So I had a really long talk with my doctor about, you know, how to manage. It's mostly managing being hydrated and just taking it slow. And then what rides that I really couldn't go on. So it just was, I just ended up changing a couple fast passes where I just wouldn't go on them. Or we wouldn't do the rider swap that we had planned. I don't think it really changed too much because my daughter is pretty attached to me. So I had always planned to go with her on whatever rides she could go on, and either doing a rider swap or trying to nab a fast pass later on in the day for whatever ride I didn't get to go on that my son went on. So it didn't really change a whole lot. It's just, this really forces us to like not rush and to like take everything slow and like at our kids' pace, you know, be more at our kids' pace and you know, that type of thing. Like it's really going to put us in a better place so that we're not, you know, forcing them to rush around unintentionally.
Yeah. So is your thought that you will have future trips at different ages and stages of your kids?
Yeah, like this is definitely not a one and done trip for us. It's not going to be like we're going to go all the time. But definitely, like I said, we're a big Star Wars family. So definitely going to go back, you know, when that's finished. And, you know, do trips so that at an age when our kids all have like the opportunity to like remember and like be involved in the planning process and just sort of take it as we go.
Yeah. That makes sense. I think I mean, when you have the privilege of going more than once, it's nice to be able to focus on their current stage, and you don't feel like you have to run through the park and check everything off the list. You mentioned adjusting your fast passes a little bit. When it came time to book fast passes, did you have any problems?
So we couldn't actually get Flight of Passage at all. And I was just getting it for my husband, my son, and my brother-in-law. And it's our second day there. So when I was like speaking with my travel agent, she was like, you probably won't get it. And then they must have released a bunch of fast passes later, because I saw like on some like Facebook group, like someone was like, oh, I just got fast passes for this week, which was the week that we were going. So I like logged on and was able to get one for the three of them. So I just canceled. Because we were all going to do like the Navi River Journey. And so I just canceled their fast passes and rescheduled them for Flight of Passage. But that was the only one that I had trouble getting. We're doing Slinky Dog and the Alien Swirling Saucers very late in our trip. So I had no issues getting those.
So you're doing two Hollywood Studios days. So you got Slinky Dog on one day and Alien Swirling Saucers a different one?
Oh, no, we split. So my husband and my son are going to do Slinky Dog, and then all the women are going to do Alien Swirling Saucers.
Oh, I see.
And then if it's like, because it obviously wasn't around before, if it's something that my husband's like, I think you'll be fine. Cause my doctor's like, you know, sort of like play it by ear. Like if you're not slamming into the bars or whatever, like you'll be fine. It's early enough in your pregnancy that, you know, you'll be fine on most rides except for like the really fast roller coasters. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, we don't have any problems like standing in line if it's manageable. Like, I don't want my kids also to be like, we're going to fast pass everything. Like, we'll fast pass as much as we can. But like, you know, there'll be downtime. So like they can stand in line with like a treat and like, it'll be fine. Like,
Yeah. Just don't do it in Toy Story Land, though. It's hot. Yeah. It's so, yeah. so hot.
Yeah, we'll plan off for that one, too, to, like, go back, like, at night so that it's a little bit cooler or you're not seeing any direct sunlight.
Absolutely. Either very, very early or the evening is definitely ideal for that section.
And again, like, if I can't do it this trip, you know, it's not the last time we'll go. So just sort of managing my own expectations as well as our children's.
Yeah, you can tell yourself next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Next time we'll do that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that part of your Magic Kingdom time was going to be for the Halloween party. So where does that fall in your trip?
It's pretty much in the middle. So we arrive on a Thursday. That's the Tuesday. So, I mean, I guess towards the end. It's the what day is that? The 28th, maybe. And that's a party day. And they also actually have the hard-ticketed early morning event that day also.
You're attending the early morning magic?
No, we're not. But okay. They have it that day.
That's a long day.
I bet people are going to do both, but we could never. And that's also the day that I have the pre-park opening breakfast. So I know that we wouldn't be able to get on rides before the park officially opens. So that's why we may keep it, we may not.
Oh, I see.
But also, like, for me, it's like, it would be nice to get in there early to, like, take pictures in front of the castle and that whole piece of it too. So that's why we're playing it by year. But we're just planning to go, maybe go to Disney Springs that night or something and just sort of take it easy in that, like, you know, we'll get up early and go to Magic Kingdom for the morning and then just see how it goes and see how we might just end up back at the hotel. So,
yeah. And you might find that when you go to Magic Kingdom earlier in your trip, if you're there before the park opens, you can get pictures in front of the castle.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people there, but it's not, most people don't wake up that early. So,
right. And my kids are early risers, so we will be up early.
Yeah. So you might have some luck on your other days earlier in your trip. Okay. So we'll have to see. What else? So going back to the Fast Pass thing for a second, you were able to get everything except Flight of Passage at first, and then you were able to snag that later. Did that part of the planning process stress you out at all, like the logistics of it?
Not really. I mean, I am very much a planner. So my travel agent, she's one of your travel agents, but I know her personally. She was like, I can do it for you if it's too much. And I was like, I don't know. I kind of like doing that kind of stuff. So, like, for me, I just, like, you know, she and I went over it a couple of times. And she was like, you know, book them in this order. And, you know, she was very upfront with me not being able to get Flight of Passage. And so, like, I wasn't surprised and it wasn't a big deal. And, you know, it's just, you know, I didn't tell my son what we were doing until after I booked everything. So it's, you know, just managing everyone's expectations. So, like, if he didn't know we were getting it, then it was never going to be a big deal.
Oh, that's smart parenting.
So, I learned my lesson with the Be Our Guest fiasco. So, you know, I know some people hate the planning process and hate the booking process, and it's really stressful for them. For me, it was not a big deal. And I liked doing it. So, you know, just talking it through with someone who knows better and who has done it obviously before, that I think really enabled me to be successful with getting everything that I needed or wanted.
Yeah. Who's your agent?
Kelly.
You know, I thought you were going to say that. Your name is Kelly and you sound like Kelly. You guys must be from the same region. So
yeah, we're both from Massachusetts.
Yes.
She was actually like my bar instructor when I first started going to bar classes. So that's how we know each other. She was so easy to work with and super flexible and, you know, changing our dates for, you know, in the beginning. And so it's just been really easy to work with her.
Good. And you like to do part of it yourself. So it's just sort of a demonstration that you can have an agent as involved as you want them to be.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is all good to know. Are there any parts of your trip that you have planned that we have not talked about yet?
The only thing that I think I haven't mentioned is we're doing the Frozen dessert party, our first Epcot day.
Okay. frozen dessert party. And do you have a frozen fan in your group by chance?
We do. So it was really hard to pick between Frozen and Star Wars because, you know, very obsessed. And it really came down to the fact that there's tables and chairs for Frozen. Although I have seen that now they might have tables and chairs for the Star Wars one.
Yeah, they just added them.
Mm-hmm. So maybe next time. But that was like a big, you know, with two little kids at the end of the day, like, we're going to need those tables and chairs. And even with having all the extra hands helping us, it's just, it would be a lot for them, I think. I don't know if it would have been worth it to do the Star Wars one where they're standing the whole, you know, where we thought they would be standing the whole time, because it just felt like it could turn into a meltdown. I mean, my daughter is a huge Frozen fan, so that's fine too. But that's really why we decided on Frozen over Star Wars.
It's also, you know, there are lots of chances at Disney World to do sort of VIP feeling experiences. And when you get to walk onto Frozen Ever After, just your group after the party, it is so nice. It just feels very, very exclusive.
Yeah, that was a big draw too. Like, I know Star Wars, you get the, like the Stein cups. And I was like, I don't know that I want to bring six Stein cups back home with us instead of, you know, it would be nice just to have the experience over the gift.
Yeah. Yeah. That experience is definitely a big draw for the Frozen party. It's super cute. But then, you know, you get to kind of be a salmon swimming upstream, you know, when everyone's leaving Epcot, you're going onto a ride to end your day. So I think that'll be super special for your Frozen loving child.
Yes, definitely.
So, all right. Well, these all sound like fantastic plans, and I can't wait to talk to you when you get back.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks.
Welcome home, Kelly.
Thank you.
All right. So you and I are speaking on September 5th. So I think that you've been home for a few days now.
Yes. We came back very late on the 31st.
Okay. So you had like a long holiday weekend to sort of process and recoup, right?
Yep.
So overall, how are you feeling about the trip?
It went really well. Like, probably better than I expected. It just, you know, everything seemed pretty easy. And I think part of that is planning. Part of that is lower crowds. So I think it was just a good time for us.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we talk so much about planning that people really do go all out, people like you. And then when you get there, you think, oh, this is a lot easier, because we kind of, you know, we try to prepare you for the worst. And then and then you can be pleasantly surprised when you get there. So I just did a video for YouTube, because I post videos every once in a while, a couple times a week. And it was 6 reasons Magic Kingdom is difficult. And that sounds so negative, but it's things that you have to look out for. But then when you get there, hopefully it will seem a lot easier than you had imagined. So anyway, well, I'm glad to hear that it went well. How did you feel? You already said that you felt like lower crowds were in effect, which is, I think, the end of August. That is, that's pretty common. So in terms of these dates that you chose, August 23rd to the 31st, I believe, were your trip dates. Yeah. How did you feel about the weather? Because it's a hot time to be there.
We've always gone in the summer. Like, as a kid, I always went in August. As adults, my husband and I went in July. So, like, and honestly, New England this year has been so hot that actually my brother-in-law texted me when he got back, because he was only there for half the trip, that it was hotter in Connecticut at that moment than it felt when we were in Florida. So I think for us this year, the weather was the same. Like, it really wasn't much of a difference. We were just outside more.
Yeah, whenever, you know, on your phone how you can have different cities for your weather app. Yeah. I always have Orlando, and I think, okay, if where I'm at is hotter than Orlando, then I'd rather be in Orlando.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the same. True. It's sort of the same idea. Okay, so you and your immediate family stayed in a suite at Art of Animation, a car suite.
Yes.
Yeah. How did you guys like that?
We really liked it. The kids loved it. We didn't really spend too much time in the resort. We really only had one, like, half day where we relaxed there. I did feel like the resort itself was actually crazier than some of the parks. I don't know if it's just the age of the kids that were there or just our luck. It just seemed like people were like, they were like, the pools were like filled all the time. So we took like one down day. But other than that, we loved it. The food court was great. The people working there were great. The rooms were great. Like, I have no complaints about it.
How was the transportation for you?
It was good. We like the bus transportation or from the airport?
From Art of Animation to the parks.
Oh, it was fine. I think we only had one. It was our last day where we waited a half an hour for a bus from Epcot.
Oh, my gosh.
But we had left early, and so we had plenty of time. But there were definitely people on our bus that had not. So while it was annoying, we had planned for it. So, you know, it was just something we dealt with. But that was the only time where we really had to wait for a bus where it was like, this is kind of a long time.
Yeah, no, 30 minutes is incredibly long. And that's why I use Uber. I get real impatient and I think, yeah, I'm just going to hop in an Uber and I'll be there in 5 minutes. So yeah, I think 30 minutes is a long time.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah, I think I would be complaining about that. but the nice thing is, for Art of Animation, once you're on the bus, you know you're going to your resort. It doesn't stop at any other resorts. There's no internal stops, etc. So it just took 30 minutes to get there to get on the bus. So that's frustrating. Okay. Your brother-in-law stayed at Pop Century, which is just across the bridge. The logistics of that with you guys being on either side of the bridge, how did that work out?
So every morning he just walked to us because obviously that was easier. But it was fine because he's an early riser. So he would always be there before us waiting for the bus. And then at night he would take an Uber or a Pop bus back to his resort instead of like all going back to Art of Animation.
Yeah. Okay. So that worked out pretty well for given the like demographics of your group.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's start talking about your trip. And I believe that it kicked off with a Chef Mickey's dinner.
Yes. So we got to Art of Animation probably around noon, maybe a little earlier, 11:30. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. We went to Magic Kingdom and like just sort of took a lazy day about it, did a couple fast passes, and then we went to Chef Mickey's for 6 o'clock. It was really easy. I mean, it was average food, but my kids had a great experience with the characters, which I was unsure about. My daughter is 3 and very afraid of anybody other than me. Like, she will not talk to anyone. So I was shocked about how much she was going up to the characters and really getting involved in like giving them hugs and like wanting to see them. And my 7-year-old son, he is very outgoing normally, and he was sort of reserved with the characters. So it was interesting how that flopped, but they both loved the interaction at Chef Mickey's.
Yeah, that's a big hit. And maybe did you intentionally schedule that to give them a chance to feel out the characters, or was it just?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause we had a lot of character fast passes for my daughter just because of her age and her height, and I wanted to see if I needed to switch them. So that was like a good intro for her.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. And it's so fun to be able to have the monorail, and yeah, I think it's a hit with everybody, but like you said, the food is kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's fun. So after Chef Mickey's, did you go back to the hotel for the evening then?
Yeah, we had an early morning the next morning, so we just wanted to like take it easy and be done for our day.
Did you end up going back to Magic Kingdom and then going back to your resort from there?
Yes, we ended up walking, which I don't think I would do again with kids, just because my son was spent and we only had a stroller for my daughter. And so that was a long walk for him. And then we just hopped on the bus once we got back to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, the reason I ask is I'm always fascinated by resort to resort logistics because it's not easy. I mean, when you're right there by Magic Kingdom, it's easier, but that's always something people have to think through. And like you said, the 7-year-old walking felt like a long walk at the end of the day.
Yes, it did.
If you had taken the monorail, it would have taken a lot longer probably because it has to go all the way around, you know, so, you know, pros and cons. Right. All right. So that was the end of that night. And then the next day was going to be your first like full park day.
Right.
Where did you go?
So it was our only Animal Kingdom day. So we wanted to like really take in the whole day, especially since we had a resort dining that evening.
Okay.
So we got there about a half an hour before they opened, and they were already letting people in. And we had a fast pass for the safari, but we were going to try and grab the first one just to see if we could get more active animals. But we ended up going the wrong way because we were like following the crowd. So we ended up just walking onto Navi River Journey. And so I was just like, okay, whatever, we'll keep our leader fast pass, which was fun. Like, and even when we got off the ride, there was still, you could still walk on. Like, we could have walked on maybe two more times. Just because everyone was going to Flight of Passage.
So to clarify, was the opening time 9 a.m.?
Yeah, so we got there around 8:30.
And people were already in the park. And were they allowing people only in Pandora?
I'm not clear. It did not look that way, but I wasn't really... We had asked someone which way to go to the safari, and they showed us, but we just like missed the turn just because we were like following the crowd. So I'm not sure if we could have gotten to the safari in advance, but the cast member that answered our question didn't say that we couldn't. So it felt like the whole park was open, but I could be wrong.
Okay. And then Navi was a walk on when you got on it and when you got off of it. So, yes. Okay, good to know. And then what'd you do after Navi?
And then we like every morning we got breakfast at like Starbucks in the park. And we sort of just like took it easy and like figured out what we were going to do. So we got coffee and then we sort of just walked around. We like went and found Pocahontas for my daughter. And then, the boys, they ended up doing, Expedition Everest, which I didn't know before I scheduled the fast passes, but apparently my brother-in-law is not a thrill seeker, which I made him all these fast passes for like roller coasters and things that I couldn't do because I'm pregnant. And so he was like not prepared for that at all. And I was like, oops, sorry. but he was a trooper and he did it anyway. And then after they did that, we did our safari fast pass. And the boys did Flight of Passage. And we just sort of stuck it out until they were done.
How did they like that?
They liked it a lot. Like, so much so that we tried to find fast passes for later on in the day just to see if we could, like, even after dinner if we wanted to come back. But there were not any. So, but they really liked it. But they were glad that they also got to walk on to Navi River Journey just to experience all pieces of it.
Yeah, they got to do both before lunchtime. So...
You
knock those two out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm visualizing the different things that you're saying, and you're kind of all over the park here. So,
this is a big walking day for
us. It's a big walking day, but probably not a waiting in line day.
Right. Right. And I didn't feel, we didn't wait in line really for anything, I want to say. Like, the characters were probably the longest lines, to be honest, the ones without fast passes. And the big characters were longer lines. Some of them was just like a couple people. But like Donald and Daisy were like a huge line. So that took a long time. But I also didn't feel like it was super hot in Animal Kingdom. Like there was enough shade that like the walking back and forth didn't bother us as much as maybe some other parks. Mm-hmm. So after that, it started pouring. So we went to Santuli Canteen for lunch. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty empty. We didn't really have a problem finding a seat for such a large group. And the younger ones of us really enjoyed it. I think my mom and my mother-in-law were not really prepared for some of the food we had this trip. Like, it wasn't typical food. Like, we tried to really branch out. So I don't know that they loved it. But the rest of us really liked it. And the kids really liked it, too.
When it's raining, that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Because some of the Animal Kingdom quick service places are outside. And so the fact that Situli is inside and you can refill your drinks while you're waiting for the rain to stop is pretty convenient.
Yeah, I was shocked by how many people were in, like, the covered outside portion versus the inside. Like, I don't know if they just stopped and, like, pulled over into that covered area or just didn't venture inside, but it was pretty empty and it was easy to wait it out.
The Setsuli cast members are strict about who sits there. You have to order food.
Okay.
Whereas, most quick service places at Disney World, you can just sit down without ordering something. But Setsuli is pretty popular. So the cast members, they have it all roped off. So you can't sit down unless you place an order.
Yeah.
So that explains it. They were banished to the outdoors.
That does explain it. So after we were done lunch, it had finished raining. So we didn't have any other fast passes for the day. So we had just sort of planned to play it by ear. I ended up grabbing a fast pass for the boys for Dinosaur. And as we headed like that general direction, they had just started bringing out all the characters like Launchpad and Scrooge and Donald and Daisy for the meet and greets. So my son really wanted to do the Launchpad and the Scrooge. So we did that. And then they went to Dinosaur and we stood in the very long line for Donald and Daisy. And they're not usually together, but I guess because of the rain, they keep them together when it's raining. So that was nice. Even though it was a long line, it was nice to only have to do it once.
Yeah, that is nice. I didn't know that they did that.
I didn't either, but like someone had told me because they're like, oh, Daisy's over here. And they're like, oh, no, hold on. It's raining. Go this way. And they're together. I was like, nice. And it was right next to the dance party because it had stopped raining. And so they did have like the Chip and Dale dance party right next to where that meet and greet was.
Good. I'm glad you guys got to do that, even if the line was a little longer than you expected.
Yeah, it was enough time that my son, like, they went and rode Dinosaur and came back. And, like, you know, we were, like, halfway through the line. So it wasn't a big deal. Like, my daughter could have waited in line all day for some of these characters. So for her, it was not a big deal.
Good thing she liked characters.
it was a very good thing. We definitely got our money's worth with the Memory Maker and all that stuff for those things. And then we just sort of did, like, you know, the Triceratops spin and did some shopping. And that was like the end of our Animal Kingdom day.
So you stayed until you felt like you were done. And then it sounds like you may have left mid-afternoon, early evening.
We left around, I want to say 4:30, 5 o'clock. We had a 5:45 reservation at Sanaa. So I just wanted to give us enough time because that was the one thing that my travel agent was like, sometimes the bus for Animal Kingdom Lodge can be a little longer at Animal Kingdom than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So that was the one like recommendation she made when we were doing like off, like outside park dining, to make sure that we gave ourselves enough time or planned on doing, you know, like a minivan or something.
That is a good tip, but it wasn't too long of a bus ride from Animal Kingdom to get to Sanaa at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So
no,
that's the upside of that planning. And I can't remember if it was on the recording before or not, but your agent is Kelly Wheeler, who sounds and you have the same name and you sound very much alike. She's one of my agents. So
yes. And we live close to each other.
Yes. Well, that would explain why you sound so much alike.
Yes. Yeah.
So how did you guys like Sanaa?
We loved it. I think my mother-in-law was not as adventurous, but, you know, for her, it was, like, too spicy. But the rest of us really loved it. Like, when my husband and I, like, recapped our trip, like, that was definitely a place that we would 100% go back. Like, the food, the service, the animals around, like, it was great. Like, I have no complaints. Everything was wonderful.
Good. Animal Kingdom Lodge has so much good food.
It really does.
That would be a perk of staying there, is that you wouldn't have to leave too much to eat if you didn't want to.
I know. That would be really nice.
You could just stay there. Okay. So then after that, did you go back to the resort?
Yeah. So we took a minivan because that was definitely the easiest way, which my kids loved. They thought it was like the best thing. So we did end up taking a minivan back to our resort, which was much faster.
And you all fit in one minivan?
No. So my brother-in-law ended up taking the bus back to Animal Kingdom and then a bus to Pop. And the bus back to Animal Kingdom was like 5 minutes or something, but he ended up waiting a long time for a bus back to Pop. So I think had we known, he probably would have just taken an Uber because it would have been like $10 versus spending all that time waiting for buses and on buses.
Yep, that is true. I don't remember what we did before Uber, but it certainly saves a whole lot of time.
Sure does. It's definitely worth the convenience.
All right, so that was a very good long day. You didn't take a break midday.
No.
How did your kids do without a midday break?
My daughter did great. I mean, she had the stroller, so not every day, but you know, a few days she did take a nap. For the most part, like, she wanted to walk. So she would walk for, or be, you know, have someone pick her up, but she would walk for a couple hours or whatever, and then get back in the stroller. But you know, and my son, he's 7, he complained, but like totally expected. It's a lot of walking. So when they were tired, we would like get a water and take a break, and you know, they were okay. They were troopers about it. Like, I had, except for that day and the next day, I had really put in our schedule that if we wanted to go back to the resort, we had time to do it, but they never really wanted to do that.
That is such a good idea to do the flexibility. I mean, that's what I preach all the time. And in many cases, people will go back to the resort because if you're tired and you're hot, then that's a good chance to take a break. But in your case, you discovered you didn't need to take a break. So That is the point of staying flexible. Is you when you want to get there, you figure out what your flow is going to be with your family. All right, so that's the end of your Animal Kingdom day. What was your next day like?
It was Hollywood Studios, and they opened at 7 that day. And I knew that we would not get there for 7 or before 7. We didn't end up getting there until like 8:15, 8:20. And it didn't really even seem that busy. And honestly, at that point, some people were leaving. And I think they had just gotten there early enough to hit Toy Story Land and just got out of there. So when we got there, Donald and Daisy were at the entrance. And my daughter really wanted to meet them again. So most of our group took her over there. And then I took my son to sign up for Jedi training. And at that point, they still had almost all of their shows open. We ended up signing up for the 12:20 show, but they had all but their first two shows open. And that seemed to be the trend. Like, even the other days we went to Hollywood Studios, they would have a sign out that either said that they still had openings, and only once, and it was very late, it was probably before the last show, did they say that they were full.
Yeah, everybody's in Toy Story Land.
Yep.
So they're not over at Jedi training. So that is a perk for you that, you know, you wanted to head there before going to Toy Story Land. So, So I look forward to hearing how the Jedi training went when you did that at 12:20. What did you do after you signed up, though?
So we just took pictures in the front. You know, I wanted to get a picture of each park with our family. And then we had a later fast pass for Star Wars, but it was a 10-minute wait. So we just walked on to that for those who were riding. And then we got like our coffee and Starbucks and all of that stuff, and sort of hung out until our first fast pass. So the boys did Tower of Terror, and then the girls did The Little Mermaid, which you don't really need a fast pass for, but there was not a lot there for my daughter to do, so I just grabbed one anyway.
I was just trying to think through Hollywood Studios since you're pregnant. I was like, I wonder what she could do. There's a lot that you have to check off your list when you're pregnant.
Yeah. Hollywood Studios wasn't terrible for me because there's so many shows.
Oh yeah.
We ended up doing an extra Hollywood Studios day. So we hit every single thing at Hollywood Studios between all 7 of us, except for the Beauty and the Beast live on stage. We just didn't, the time never worked for our schedules, but we ended up doing every single other thing. So there's a lot that I could do, I felt like.
So overall at Hollywood Studios, did you encounter lines?
Not really. I mean, obviously in Toy Story Land, but because we had multiple days there, we were able to get fast passes for all the Toy Story Land stuff. And we ended up doing the Fantasmic package for that. So I don't think we really hit any lines that were more than 10 minutes, even for things that we didn't have a fast pass for.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It's so interesting, like especially like Star Tours, because I remember, you know, 10 years ago where the line was like wrapped all the way around and, you know, it was, you rode it once and that was that. So it was interesting that, like, you know, my son ended up riding it like 3 or 4 times over the course of the trip because it was a walk-on every single time.
Yeah, that's so crazy. I would have bet $1 million a couple months ago that the whole park would be crazy and hard to navigate. It's not.
It's not. It definitely was not. Which is great. We love Hollywood Studios. We've always been big Hollywood Studio Park fans. So it was nice for us to like really spend some time in there and like not feel overwhelmed.
Yeah. You mentioned that you signed up for Jedi training. So how did your son like that?
He loved it. I mean, it was hot because it was 12 o'clock. And those robes are hot, but they do give the kids like a bottle of water right after so that they can hydrate. But it's just so well run. They split the kids up so that half fight Darth Vader and half fight Kylo Ren. And it's a really cute show and it's 17 minutes. So they're not up there for long, like sweating and, not enjoying themselves. Like I think all the kids really, it looked like they all had a really good time and they all got to have an individual turn fighting whichever person they were fighting. And the pictures are fantastic. So we really enjoyed that. And I'm glad that we did it because my son was sort of a little nervous about it at first, like just being up there without anybody else. But he ended up really enjoying it. And, you know, one of the big things that he talks about.
Good. Yeah, because if you go back in the future, he won't be 7. So who knows if he'll be interested in doing it then.
Exactly. Although my husband and brother-in-law were jealous that they could not do it. So
yeah, I know. It's a bummer when you're too old to do things.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that you did a dining package. So where did you do that?
We didn't do it on that day. We did it on our last Hollywood Studios day because that night we went back and saw the Star Wars fireworks because we wanted to see both shows. So we knew that we had to do at least 2 nights in the park to be able to do that.
So did you just say you did Star Wars one night and Fantasmic another night?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about your first Hollywood Studios day then, the one that we were already talking about. You did Star Wars that night?
Yeah. So we had a dining reservation at 2:30 at 50s primetime. And like prior to that, we had done some like meet and greets with Chewie and BB-8 and we had a Toy Story Mania fast pass. So we were a little bit all over the place there. And then we did our dining reservation and after that we left, we did actually go back, to Art of Animation and Pop for like 2 hours just to like, we changed and like just relaxed for a little bit. And then just the boys and I went back. We had like a quick service dinner and then we stayed for the fireworks.
And did you have any trouble finding a spot to watch the Star Wars fireworks?
No, we got there probably, I mean, we're all super Star Wars fans. So we got there about an hour early and we sat right on that, like, you know, for people who've been there, that like cement wall that's like right next to the towers where they do the projections from.
That is exactly where you should sit.
So it was great. I mean, and I don't know if it's because it's late or because people do have to choose, but it didn't feel super crowded. Like there were a lot of people there, but nothing like Magic Kingdom or Fantasmic, honestly.
Yeah. The unfortunate part is just that you do have to be close to see everything or especially in that spot where you are. That's the perfect place. I'm just frustrated with Disney for creating these shows that are amazing, but it's just a real small area of people that have a good view. But it sounds like you had that view. So,
yeah, I mean, we definitely arranged to be there so that we could get a decent view. I mean, and especially since it was only a couple of us, it was not as hard as it would have been if it was all of us.
So you mentioned that it was just the boys and you that went back. And so does that mean that your mother-in-law or mother stayed with your daughter?
Yeah. So they did a quick service at the resort and just sort of like walked around and hung out. And my daughter did not really take a nap that day. I just knew she would not be able to hang. She needs her sleep. And she likes to sleep a lot. So it was important for her to stay.
Yeah. That I am jealous of those of you that have these three generation trips, because that's such a good option.
Yeah.
Okay. So good Hollywood Studios day.
Yeah.
Where did you go after that?
So the next day we had a Magic Kingdom day. And we started a little late just because, you know, my son needed to like get some sleep. And so we probably left our resort around like 8:45, and got to Magic Kingdom a little after 9. So it was crowded when we got there. But I found Magic Kingdom to be obviously the most crowded for all the parks. But once you got out of like the Main Street area, like I felt like it really broke up. So this day we separated like the boys and the girls, and the boys went and did Splash Mountain, Thunder Mountain, and the Hall of Presidents. And we did the carousel. We met all four princesses, Small World, Winnie the Pooh, and then we met Tigger and Pooh.
That's fun. So you did like Fantasyland kind of stuff, the girls.
Yeah.
Did. Yeah. So some splitting up. I'm always fascinated by that too, when you have a group, if everyone plans to stay together or if they want to split up, but it sounds like you did a bit of both.
Yeah, we didn't really plan on splitting up that much. It just, the way the fast passes ended up working, and they were, they wanted to sit down and take a break. So they went to the Hall of Presidents, and we were waiting on our fast pass for, I forget which ride, Winnie the Pooh, I think. So it ended up working out. And then there was we had like a afternoon, like noon-ish fast pass for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So we met up for that.
Did you also have a Be Our Guest lunch this day, or was that a different day?
That was a different day.
Okay. So you met up for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and you had lunch somewhere. Where did you end up?
We went to the Pinocchio's Village House, which was good. It was empty in there. I don't know if it was just the time that we went or because of it was, you know, not a peak week, but it was pretty empty. And it was good. No complaints. We just wanted something small because we were going to Ohana for dinner. So we just wanted to, like, not get full. So that was nice for that. So then we, like, split up some people because my brother-in-law was leaving the next day. He wanted to do some shopping. So my brother-in-law, my mother-in-law, and my son went and did some shopping. And the rest of us, like, just did some random rides. We did, like, the Under the Sea and the People Mover. And then we met up to do all of us. We had a last fast pass to do Buzz Lightyear.
And was that your last thing before you went to dinner at Ohana then?
Yes.
So what time was your dinner reservation?
It was at 5 or 5:15 because I wanted it early enough so we could go back to the fireworks.
Okay. That's going to be a long day for you again.
Yeah.
But you already said your kids can hang, so that's good. All right, so you took the monorail probably over to the Polynesian.
Yeah.
And did it take a while to get seated at Ohana, or how did that work?
No, I will say generally, like, we did not wait for any of our reservations. And that was part of the thing that I had researched about Ohana. I was like, the earlier the reservation, the more likely you are to get seated at your reservation time. But it didn't seem super packed. I did see a lot of people waiting when we left dinner, but when we were in the restaurant, there were definitely like empty tables. So I'm not sure if they just stagger it, you know, for the wait staff, but it didn't seem super packed when we arrived.
Yeah, I think that people who are new to Disney World planning think if they make a reservation that they're going to be seated at that time, but certainly that is not the case. It just means you're going to get seated at some point.
Yeah.
But the reason I asked about Ohana in particular is that it can have a bit of a wait. Like, there's a whole seating area right outside Ohana that people are usually, you know, waiting for their turn. But you're right.
Yeah.
The earlier you go, like 5 p.m.-ish, the better chances you have of getting right in.
Yeah. Yeah. We had no problem.
How'd your family like the meal there?
We loved it. Like, again, that was one that we would go back for every time. For me, it was hard because I like steak rare, which I obviously can't eat when I'm pregnant, and it was a little on the rare side. So I like just ate like the shrimp and the pot stickers and the noodles and all of that stuff, and it was so good. Like I know people like talk about it and they say it's great, but like it's just, you know, it's, you're in a resort, so like sometimes it's hard to believe that the food will be that good, but it was really, really fantastic.
Good. It's a good one with a group too, don't you think?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, and they had like coconut races for the kids, so the kids could like take like a little broom and sweep a coconut around the whole like wooden floor part of the room, and they got like a flower lay at the end, and it was a really nice experience for everyone.
Good. I'm glad that was the way your brother-in-law's portion of the trip ended.
Yes.
With everybody doing something together.
Yeah.
And so again, I'm going to ask how you got back to your resort.
So 6 of us went back to Magic Kingdom for the fireworks.
That's right.
And my brother-in-law took an Uber back to Pop because he wanted to like pack, and his flight was the next night. So he was going to do a half day with us the next day, but he just wanted to get everything settled and ready to go so he could just leave to go in the park in the morning.
Okay. So the 6 of you are back at Magic Kingdom for the fireworks. How did you have an easy time finding a spot to watch those?
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. I mean, it was definitely harder than Star Wars. We ended up sitting sort of behind the hub a little bit, like up against one of the fences, just because I needed a place where I my kids could sit, and I wasn't feeling, because people were walking in front of them and behind them and all around them. And we basically just got sugary treats to keep them occupied until the fireworks started, because we probably had about an hour to wait for that as well.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Especially if you're little.
Yes.
You can tell I'm impatient. I'm like, 30 minutes for a bus, you know. But you kept them occupied with sugary treats, which is fun.
Yes.
And then how did you like the fireworks themselves?
I love them. It was funny because I turned to my husband and I said, this is definitely more spectacular than the Star Wars ones. Like that's, you know, it had been so long since we'd been. It's obviously a different show. But I thought it was wonderful, like better than I can imagine. I mean, you see videos on like YouTube or Instagram or whatever, and it's just like nothing does it justice like it is in person. It's just such a good show with like, it incorporates so many of the different movies and music, and it was a really cool show. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's so pretty, and I think like the name is Happily Ever After, but the way that they define Happily Ever After is lovely. Like it's not the typical necessarily like romantic story. It can mean lots of different things, and it's so well done.
Yeah, I definitely teared up with all like the family ones like at the end. I was just like, oh, the moms or pit dads with the kids, and I was like, oh god. I was like, it's the hormones.
Yeah, but you're not the only one.
I'm sure.
That cries at that. It's really, they're really good at making people cry.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've had a few days in the parks so far for good days. So what was your next day of your trip like?
Our next day was Epcot. So we wanted to leave at a reasonable hour because my brother-in-law had to leave probably around 3:34-ish just to get, he was just going to take an Uber to the airport because, again, it was just him. He was going to take a bus back to Pop to grab his bag and then Uber to the airport. Because we had stayed later, we didn't get as early a start as we wanted. So we probably got to Epcot around 9:30. It wasn't super crowded. Like all of the rides, like Spaceship Earth and stuff, it was a walk-on at that point, which I was surprised because I thought it'd be still busy in the morning, but it wasn't. So we ended up splitting up again. The boys did Mission Space and Test Track, and I really wanted to meet Joy and Sadness because that's one of my daughter's favorite movies, and you can't fast pass that. So I was like, we have to get in that line as soon as we get there. So we did that. We did Joy and Sadness, Baymax, and then we had a fast pass, which we just barely made for the Mickey, Minnie, and Goofy.
Yes. And they're all called Character Spot, but only the classic characters have the fast pass.
Right.
Did you think you needed it? What was the standby line like? Do you remember?
I think it was 40 minutes, which was very surprising to me, especially considering how the rest of our day went. And we literally walked on to everything except, I mean, you could walk on to Soren, which was very surprising. So I was shocked at how long that line was. So I was glad we made our fast pass because I wasn't sure that we would, just because Joy and Sadness took much longer than I anticipated.
Yeah, they do take a while. They're popular.
Yeah. Yes, they're super popular.
But worth it. And you're waiting inside at least.
Yes, that is definitely a positive. Because all the other ones are outside. The ones without a fast pass, it seems like.
Yeah. And they have like their own designated area. So the pictures come out really nicely.
Yeah.
So lots of characters.
Yep. That's definitely the theme of this trip.
Good thing your daughter had fun at Chef Mickey's.
Yes. Yes.
This would have gone much differently. Okay, so lots of character time. No, you didn't have to wait on rides. Nope. So lots of good stuff. What else did you do?
We did Nemo, and we had a fast pass because, again, my daughter couldn't do a lot. And the boys walked on, and we, like, were in the same. We were still in the same, like, cars. Like, yes. It was just no line. So we ended up being together anyway. And I was like, this seems like a waste of a fast pass, but what am I going to do?
But can I just tell you, one time I was there a couple months ago, and you know, from the time you walk into the building for Nemo and Friends to the time you board is a really, really long queue.
Yeah.
When I was there, the line was all the way to the door.
That's crazy.
A couple months ago. Because sometimes when Epcot has closures, like Test Track breaks down, Frozen Ever After, which happens a lot, then people don't know where to go. And they ended up in that line. So if that had happened when you were there, you would have at least been able to, you know, get in the fast pass line. Not that it's normally recommended, but, you know, sometimes it can save you. But on your particular day, it sounds like you didn't need it.
No, definitely didn't. So after that, we went to the World Showcase so that my brother-in-law could do some of the things that he wanted to do. We ended up meeting a lot of characters along the way. We did Pluto and Anna and Elsa, both which of they took probably 15 minutes total, which was, I thought Anna and Elsa would be a much longer wait at that point in the day, but it wasn't. We were like, there's one family in front of us, I think, when we got there. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, it used to be a much longer line to meet them. But ever since they've had their summer house, Disney has made it much more efficient. So usually you can get through that line pretty quickly.
Yeah, it felt like no one was there. So it was nice. It was nice, though, like to sort of walk through all of those characters.
Yeah, exactly. And they end again, they have a really nice setting to go in their house.
Yep.
So I don't know. I appreciate a good setting.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, it wouldn't have been so bad to wait in here because it's nice. And it's air conditioned. But it seemed like for the most part, all the ones that were inside, we ended up walking right through.
Mm-hmm. Walking slowly through the queue so you can see all the details. Okay, so you're in the World Showcase at this point.
Yep.
What else did you do?
We just walked around. We did Germany, Norway, Italy, and China. And then we met Snow White because she came out and my daughter wanted to meet her. And then we rode, and then Mexico too. We rode the Grand Fiesta, I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And then we headed back because we had a 2:45 lunch reservation at Coral Reef, which just happened to be when it rained that day, so it was really good timing.
So you did all this before lunch?
Yeah.
And you were able to take a break before a 2:45 lunch?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's pretty impressive. As I was sort of thinking through it in my head, I thought you were probably much later in the day, but you got a lot done in a short amount of time.
No, like I said, it definitely did not feel super crowded. And I mean, we took a leisurely pace with everything, but it just, everything was very, we were able to walk on to so much stuff that it didn't eat up as much time as we had anticipated.
All right. And I wrote down, too, you had a Frozen Ever After dessert party, I think, that night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a lunchtime break back at the hotel, right? And then you came back.
Oh, no. We went to Coral Reef. Sorry. That's what I meant.
You took a break and then did Coral Reef, or you did Coral Reef and then?
Oh, we didn't go back to the hotel for a break. We just took a break there. Sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry. All right. That's where we were at, because I was like, I'm trying to figure out how you had time to do that.
Oh, no. We took a break while we were, like, meandering through the
showcase. All right, now we've cleared it up. It's an in-park break because you were killing time before your Coral Reef lunch. Okay, so you're in the World Showcase, and then you eventually have to end up back at the Seas for Coral Reef.
Yeah.
All right. So how did that meal go? I haven't talked about Coral Reef in a while.
I was really nervous because people either love it or hate it. And like, I mean, obviously you can't believe everything you read online, but our service was great. We had two tables that were like facing the tank. And while we were there, they were like, they had like scuba divers in there that were like, I don't know if they were feeding the fish or what they were doing, but like they were definitely like interacting with the people that were in the restaurant, which I thought was really fun. My kids loved it. And you know, I have like really no complaints about any of our sit down meals, but that again was a really good meal. Like I feel like a lot of our quick services were very heavy feeling, and that one left us feeling like really refreshed, and you know, like we had really good food, and you know, it was just a nice experience, and it was pretty empty. I mean, part of that was the time that we went, but it was a really nice experience, and the waiter was like showing the kids all the hidden Mickeys that were in there, and it was just really nice. Like it was very relaxing, and we loved it.
Good. I like that you described it like that, because I think people sometimes can view table service meals as a break. You know, you're out of the heat, yeah. You get to sit down, you get to relax, and if you have a tank and a good waiter, then that makes it really nice.
We didn't really have to do a whole lot to entertain our kids at that one, that's for sure.
And I want to point out that you had free dining, and yes. So a lot of these, most of these table service meals were being paid for with credits. A lot of people have this idea that free dining times are going to be busy, and the fact is that Disney World doesn't offer promotions during busy times because they don't have to. But the thing that is busy sometimes is the restaurants, because people want to use their credits. The people who are there want to use their credits. But so the fact that you've had good experiences at the restaurants without them feeling too busy has been really good.
Yeah. And you know, being a party of like six plus, you know, their gratuity is already included, which I think is a shame, because I think a lot of times we would have given more or did give more because we had such phenomenal service. And I don't know that everyone does that. I mean, a lot of us worked in some sort of like, you know, customer service or food service business, so we get it. But I wish that Disney didn't do it. I understand why they do, but I wish that they didn't, because I feel like people like us would definitely give way more. You know,
there's always
its pros and its cons. So.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always going to be those people that would give a lot less given the option.
That's true.
You know, maybe it balances out.
I hope it balances out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Coral Reef was a hit, and you were refreshed and cooled off from your lunch. And then what did you do until your Frozen Ever After dessert party that night?
We just sort of walked around, did some rides that were still walk-ons. We sort of like meandered back towards World Showcase, and they had all the food and wine booths out. So we were kind of like just, you know, taking a look, trying to guess which ones were which, because they didn't have like the menus like posted yet. Everything was still covered. So you're like, oh, which ones will we go to? Cause we were there right when it opened. So we just sort of walked around, and we had debated, and this is part of the trip that I would do differently, but we had debated whether or not to get dinner, because we had planned a late lunch because of the dessert party, because we didn't want to be full. I think if I had done it all over again, I would have done a big breakfast and a quick service lunch, because everyone told us that the dessert party had savory options, but I didn't really feel like it did. So I wish that we had gotten dinner instead of sort of just meandering around that whole time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that they do have savory options is a nice bonus, but it may not be enough for a meal.
Right. And yeah, it definitely was not enough for a meal for us, I would say. And it started raining again. So the dessert party part was inside.
Mm-hmm. In Norway.
Yes.
Yeah. So normally it's on that plaza between the World Showcase and Future World. But if it rains, it moves to Norway.
Yeah.
But did it stop raining by the time Illuminations began?
Yes, it did. It stopped raining right before the dessert party started. But like obviously with the setup and all of that, they couldn't do that in the rain. So.
So overall, how did you like the dessert party?
It was okay. I don't know. I think we'd be willing to try a different park's dessert party, but I don't think that we would ever do the Frozen one again. The benefits for us just didn't weren't worth the price for us. My kids didn't love the Frozen ride, which was like shocking. And it just, it didn't, the food, it was just really heavy dessert food, which for some people is great, but like my kids like had like a couple bites of everything. Just because it was like so heavy and they're just not used to that. And we're not used to that. So, it was a good experience and I'm glad that we did it. I just don't know that I would ever do that specific one again.
Yeah. The view of the Illuminations isn't necessarily super advantageous since there's so many spots in the World Showcase, but Frozen Ever After, having your own like private ride on that is definitely the biggest upside. But if you don't, your family didn't like that ride, then it kind of loses a lot of its appeal.
Yeah, I mean, the adults all loved it, but like, I don't know, it like freaked my daughter out, which was shocking. And I think we just came to the conclusion that she does not like the dark boat rides because she had a very similar experience on Pirates, but we thought that it was because she got a little wet on that ride. And so I think it was just she didn't like those dark boat rides. So she just didn't love it. And I wouldn't say don't do it to people. It just isn't right for us to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody's different. So,
yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And so that was the end of your very complete Epcot day, it sounds
yes.
like.
Yeah.
All right. So now you have 4 park days, I believe, done. And I think there might be a Halloween party coming up.
We didn't. So the next day, we had put it on the table. We didn't pay for the Halloween party, but it was the following day. So that was the day that we, like, sort of took it easy. I did laundry. The kids went swimming. And we ended up doing like breakfast at the resort. And we were supposed to go to Magic Kingdom. But we decided last minute to go to Hollywood Studios because the first day that we were there, we did a lot of stuff for my son and not a lot of stuff for my daughter. So we wanted to go and see some of the shows and do some more like character meets for her. So we probably got there around, I want to say 1 or 1:30. And when we got there, it was like started thundering and raining immediately. So we did the Frozen sing-along, which was great. And we just like ended up sitting in that little pavilion where the sing-along is, like the waiting area that's outside that's covered for like an hour and a half. That was the one day that the rain really impacted anything we were doing. Luckily, it was like a easy day, regardless of which park we would have gone to. It was just frustrating to sit there when we probably could have just like hung out in our room. But lesson learned, it wasn't a big deal. We ended up meeting Olaf and doing Muppet Vision, and then it was still pouring. So we had a dinner reservation at the Polynesian at Kona. So we ended up just getting there really early for that.
Okay. So you took a bus from Hollywood Studios to the Polynesian?
Yeah.
Can I ask you about the bus stops at Hollywood Studios?
Oh my gosh.
Let's talk about that. So I leave at 6 a.m. tomorrow. I have a 6 a.m. flight tomorrow. And one of the things I'm going to be checking out is the Hollywood Studios bus stops because they've changed. How did you feel about those?
They were pretty bad. That was the one thing when we'd like, even when we got off the bus, like arriving there, I like just dreaded that walk. I don't know what it is. Like every park we went to, I swear Art of Animation and Pop were the 2 last bus stops, the farthest away from the resort. From the park. Mm-hmm. So especially with that new Hollywood Studios, like roped off area, it felt like such a walk. Like even the adults were like complaining, you know, it was very long. And it's not even that it was long. It was like, there's like one umbrella every, like, there's like 3 umbrellas, the whole walk from like the bus stop to the entrance. And I was like, this is very hot and long and I'm already tired. But once you got in the park, it wasn't that bad, but that walk was just incredibly long.
Yeah, I have heard that. They're doing some construction, so they had to relocate the bus stops, and they moved them further away. And so I've heard a lot of complaints about that walk in and out, especially at the end of the day when you're so tired. I imagine that is pretty exhausting.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you're trying to get there early, then you kind of have to factor in a little extra time to, you know, trek in because it didn't used to be quite so far away.
Yeah.
So anyway, just curious about how that works. So you had a rainy show watching afternoon at Hollywood Studios. And then you left on a bus stop that was far away. Or no, you went to Kona though.
Yeah. So we were supposed to, be in Magic Kingdom. So we had made reservations for Kona. Cause we had debated whether or not we were going to do the Halloween party, but the weather was so miserable. We're like, nope, not happening next time. Which was fine. Cause the kids, like, they just needed that rest day to like not really do anything. Even though we went to the park and did a couple things, like it was nice to just not have any pressure to do anything. And all the fast passes we missed at Magic Kingdom, we were either able to walk onto or reschedule them for our next Magic Kingdom day.
Good.
But yeah, so we went to the Polynesian, we went to Kona, we were early, we got seated early. And this was the only meal where I have even the slightest complaint. My mom has a shellfish allergy, and they like messed up the meal, and it took like they had to refire her entire meal, and she got a steak. So it took a very long time for us to get our food, and our waitress was just very MIA for that whole experience. Like, we had no idea what was going on, and like people that were seated after us had like food, and I don't know what's happening. So that was like my only dining complaint, was that specific, you know, thing that happened. But I mean, it's good for them that they refired her thing, and it was not an allergy. It didn't have anything in it that she was allergic to, but I just, you know, the communication could have been a little bit better.
The food for you was good, though?
Yeah, the food was good. I think, you know, Ohana was better, in my opinion. But I'd really like to go back and try it at breakfast, since that's what everyone raves about. But it was, you know, the food was great, so no complaints about that part.
Good. Always unfortunate when the service isn't good, but I'm glad that that was your worst complaint for your trip, because you had a lot of sit down meals.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, so from Kona, you did what?
We took a minivan back because it was still pouring, and I was like, we just need to get back to our hotel and like just go to bed.
Yeah, the rain is this time of year. It's not crowded. But the rain can be an even bigger factor than normal. And there's like a tropical storm brewing right now, you know, so that's always an issue.
I mean, that was our only day where it really impacted what we were doing. Other days it was like 10 minutes or it happened while we were having a meal. So like it didn't impact us that much or at all. This was the only day where it really felt like it threw our whole day for a loop.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess luckily it was sort of a break day for you.
Right. So it wouldn't have mattered. Yeah.
You were able to kind of work around it.
Yeah.
That 1 hour wait though, after you saw the Frozen sing along, that's kind of a bummer.
It was only because like we used Dark Sky for the weather app and like we had all gotten these alerts that was like, you know, lightning has touched down the ground. Like don't, you know, so we were a little nervous. I was like, we're just going to, you know, stay in here with the kids because like, I want to wait till the lightning and thunder are farther away so that we can feel comfortable about at least, even if we leave the park, walking because of that long walk to the bus. I didn't want to have to be doing that when it was like the storm was so close to where we were.
Yeah, absolutely. So a break-ish day.
Yep.
and then what?
So we went back and our next day was our scheduled next Hollywood Studios day. So we got there late-ish. They opened at 8. We got there at 9:30. We got coffee and then went straight to Toy Story Land because we had fast passes it was split. So my husband and my son had Slinky Dog and the rest of us had Alien Swirling Saucers. And we ended up doing the rider swap for Slinky Dog. I think that was the only ride that we ended up doing that for. So we did that and we took our picture with the sign and we got out of there because it was so hot even that early.
You got out of Toy Story Land.
Yeah, out of Toy Story Land. And I will say that the rider swap for Slinky Dog was really efficient. They did do it electronically, but I think the boys' fast pass were at like 11:10 or something. And the fast pass rider swap, theirs were at 11:20. So they were able, and I, you know, I don't know if that's the time of year again, or if they are just really able to do it efficiently because only my son was riding again, but with another adult. But it was just, it was super fast. It was much faster than I anticipated. I thought for sure we were going to have to hang around for like an hour or so just to do that rider swap, but we didn't have to.
Can we please talk about rider switch for just a second? Because yep. people ask so many questions. There are hundreds yep. of comments on the website about rider switch because it has changed recently. And yep. so people are trying to figure out how it works. So based on what you just said, it sounds like all of the boys in your group had a fast pass, yep. right? Yep. And your daughter wasn't going to ride.
Yep. She right? wasn't tall enough. Yeah.
Okay. She wasn't tall enough. So you asked for a rider switch so that you could ride.
Yep.
And when you did that, they did what?
So this is just for Slinky Dog. But they actually had the rider swap before the fast pass. I don't know how it is at other rides because this is the only one we did it at. But it's actually before you enter the fast, like where the fast pass cast member is before you hit your band the first time. So they had two people there with an iPad. I just said, these two have a fast pass. We're going to do a rider swap. This is my daughter. That's not tall enough. So the cast member just scanned the band, my son's band. And I don't know if, I think it showed him the time of their fast pass and, or he asked us, but he scanned my son's. He scanned mine and he scanned my mom's and he was like, this is your return time. And then the boys went on the ride, got off. The rest of us that were going on the ride went on, got off, and that was it. Like, it was super easy.
So what's important to note there is that your son was in both groups.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the thing yep. people keep asking about. Can you have a fast pass on the first group and be scanned for the second group? And yep. that was your experience.
Yes. Yes. We and were able to do that.
When the second group that went and you said they gave you a time, was it a window that they gave you?
Like yeah. So it was the same hour window that you would get for a normal fast pass. And so it was like 11:23 to 12:23 was the window.
Okay. All right. That is good to know. And I'm glad that was so simple for you guys.
And I wasn't sure because Kelly did tell me before we left that at that point they were still doing the paper fast passes. They hadn't switched over to the electronic yet, but they are now fully the electronic version at Slinky Dog.
Yeah. And there's the occasional cast member that will try to implement this differently, but most of them will do it the way that you described.
Yeah. So. I mean, we had not before I found out that I was pregnant, we had planned on doing it at more rides, but just because of the rides that we planned on doing, I didn't do them. So this is the only one where I rode the ride because I felt, you know, I felt comfortable and my doctor was fine with it. So
yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you did experience it so we could talk through it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you left Toy Story Land because it was very hot and you had a brown derby meal that day, I think.
Yeah, so we had a late, it was probably like 2:45. So we did like just some shopping. The boys walked on to Star Tours again. We met Sophia and Jake and we tried to do Indiana Jones before lunch, but we got like 10 minutes into the show and it got thundered out. So we left and just went and waited at the Brown Derby. They were totally fine with us since we had a reservation coming up, totally fine with us waiting there. And they did seat us a little bit early.
Yeah, Brown Derby, also a good spot to wait when it rains.
Yep.
How did you like, because this one you were paying for out of pocket.
Yes, we paid for this one out of pocket. And like, you know, because we did compare this versus the dessert party. Like, I just felt like this was just a better use of our money when you're like paying for things on your own. The food was great. The service was great. And like, we would definitely go back here again and again. It was just a really nice meal and it was very relaxing.
Yeah, it's super nice. Did any of you order the Cobb salad?
No, I mean, they all got steak and I got the short ribs.
Oh, okay, just curious because that's the most popular thing on the menu.
Yeah, we did have the dessert sampler. That was like part of the Fantasmic package. So we all did have the grapefruit cake, which was really good if you like grapefruit, but it's very strong in the grapefruit flavor.
It definitely is. I agree with you. I don't really like grapefruit, but sometimes I will like the desserts or like grapefruit beer. But man, that dessert
Yeah.
It is.
You really have to like it to enjoy that. And I love grapefruit, but I even felt like it was very, like I enjoyed it, but it was very strong.
Yeah, it was. So while you were eating there, did the rain stop or was it still raining by the time you left?
When we left, it was like sprinkling. So like we put ponchos on the kids, but like, and the rain cover on the stroller, but the adults were like, meh, whatever. It's just a little sprinkling. So, and it basically sprinkled for the rest of the night. And that was, I was concerned. I wasn't sure what they were going to do for Fantasmic because I was like, I don't want to wait here all night just to have it canceled, which they did not. But, you know, it was definitely a concern in the back of my mind.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. I've seen so many versions of Fantasmic because sometimes they'll do like a super fast version when it's raining.
Yeah.
And sometimes they cancel it. And sometimes, you know, so I think that the thing there is the performers, they don't want them to be to slip, you know, because there's so many of them like, you know, spinning and jumping and everything. Yeah. So
looks like it could be dangerous.
It does. So I'm glad that it worked for you. This was your kid's first time seeing Fantasmic.
Yeah. And Fantasmic is like my favorite Disney show ever, and it will remain my favorite. So I was really glad we got to experience. My kids loved it. We were also a little worried because my daughter started getting a fever that day, but she ended up taking a nap in the stroller and was like, by the next day, she was like fine. But I think it was just like partial exhaustion and, you know, not used to being out in the weather like that many hours of the day. So I think a nap, but she was like really into the Fantasmic show. They both really were.
Good. Because sometimes when they're young, they get scared by Fantasmic.
Yeah. I mean, both my kids, I will say this, like, I feel like I'm not a good judge of what's scary and what's not, because it seems like the things they're scared of are really weird. But like, they both have a very good grip on like, that's like part of a movie. So I think that they weren't really scared by like the scary movie parts, you know, or things like the doomsday type voices that were happening during the show.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that it can be scary to some kids.
Yes, it can be. I will say, I was like, ooh, I don't know if they're going to handle this. Okay. But they were fine.
You just never know. And sometimes kids are okay with something one trip and they go back and it's scary. So it's a roll of the dice with kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now you did another day at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Did you guys just really like Hollywood Studios? Because that was your third day, I think.
We love Hollywood Studios. I feel like we're very, we're not the norm. I feel like people can do like a half day in Hollywood Studios and be totally satisfied. It's just, we've always loved it. And it was sort of sad that we couldn't do the Great Movie Ride, obviously, because we hadn't done it in like 10 years and it closed before we could get back there. Mm-hmm. So that part was a little bit sad, but you know, I just feel like there's so much stuff to do. Like maybe people just don't like shows or don't like the old movie feel or things that are there. Like, you know, walking through with all the models of things from like Star Wars or the other parks or from those parks at Walt Disney World. Like we just really enjoy that kind of history that's at that park.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hollywood Studios has that reputation of not being great. But the thing that I have learned from doing these trip reports is that people like Hollywood Studios far more than the reputation would tell you.
Yeah.
Particularly people with young kids, which is a little bit surprising to me. But I think the shows and the characters and everything, and it's just it's a smaller park and it's a little less hurried than maybe Magic Kingdom. So yeah. I think it maybe feels better. Overall.
Yeah, it definitely feels better and less hurried. And I feel like there's just as many but there's still a lot of characters to meet there versus other parks. Like they're just sort of like hidden. I feel like you have to like walk around to be like, oh, there's like Star Wars characters here, or Disney Junior characters there, or Olaf and Mickey and friends are over here. So that's nice, too, if you have kids that are into that. There's a variety of characters to meet.
Yeah, and many of them have their own permanent-ish homes, you know, where you can meet them in their, you know, with a nice backdrop or whatever. I feel like I've talked more about character backdrops in this podcast than any other one.
Yeah.
But but
lived it up.
Yeah, but they're cute. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed that. So after your Hollywood Studios day, what did you do after that?
The next day was Thursday. So that was Elite Start Magic Kingdom Day. And this was our last like full day. Cause the next day was, we had a late flight. So we went to Magic Kingdom. The boys did, Space Mountain. So I will say this. So my husband is legally blind and I had the best experience with a cast member at Space Mountain because it's so dark and hard to navigate, even if you can see fine. So I was able to take my husband and my son, cause obviously I was not riding. And the moms stayed with my daughter to go do other stuff. I was able to take them all the way up to cause they had fast passes to the fast pass thing, make sure they both got on the ride correctly, and then walk to, the exit where they came out. And like the cast members that were working that ride that day, like had already filled out a comment card, but they were like phenomenal. Like they were great. Couldn't have been better about helping me make sure that everyone got on, was comfortable and all of that stuff.
Good. I had written down that your husband was legally blind and I wanted to see how that played in. Was that the only time during your trip that you had to do a special accommodation for his vision?
Yeah. So because my brother-in-law did a lot of the other thrill rides with them, that was the only one where one of us needed to go and just give a hand. Like I think if it had, it's just that that line is so dark. And I think I forget how dark it is. That it's just hard for, I think for my eyes to adjust. So even for him, like to be able to adjust, like they would have been fine. They could have asked a cast member, but it was just nice to be able to make sure on my own, like that my son was fine and that he was fine. And, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they were able to accommodate you then. Did you ever consider getting a disability pass for that or no?
So we talked about it and I talked about it with Kelly too a lot. We went back and forth. My husband is going to hate that I say this, but he's a very proud man. Like he won't use a cane and, you know, he doesn't have a dog and, you know, we live very close to the city of Boston and he would take the train in and out of the city and he's very self-sufficient, with his limited visibility. So we had talked about it and he was just like, I don't want it. I don't need it. Like I have all of you there. And maybe it would be different if we didn't have all the extra hands. Mm-hmm. But when I spoke to Kelly about it too, she was like, it's going to be like, you know, the questions they're going to ask you is what is going to stop you from waiting in lines. And I think that Space Mountain and maybe Pirates are the only ones that I saw that I think could have been an issue for him. But again, we were all with him on Pirates and I was able to bring him on Space. So I don't know. I just don't know if it's worth it. Like, for us, for our family at this point.
Yeah. It sounds like you made the right decision for your family. Yeah. I will link to information in the show notes about that in case it is something other people are interested in, because you never hurts to ask the cast members and they can figure out a way to help you depending on what your disability is. So,
yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. What did you do after Space Mountain then?
We didn't have a fast pass again until like 12:30 or something. So we ended up just going back to Fantasyland and did a bunch of the stuff that we didn't do with my son when he was the other day that we did the Sunday that we did Magic Kingdom. So we did like Under the Sea, Small World, Dumbo, things like that, like just easy walk-on rides. And not everybody did everything. Like some people stayed back and just hung out and had coffee or whatever. And then we had our Peter Pan Fast Pass at 12:30. And then after that, we had lunch at Be Our Guest.
Okay. And had you ever been to Be Our Guest?
No. So I don't know if it was around when we went last time. My son really wanted the dinner, like I said, in the pre-trip report. But I don't think it would have been right for all of us. So we settled on lunch and I thought it was great. Like it just, the food was really good. It was really fast. And then we just like walked around the different rooms and we're out of there pretty quickly.
Did you do the online ordering beforehand?
Yes. And I will say I had a bit of a like pregnancy brain moment because I forgot to order something for my daughter and the cast member. So, you know, when they bring you in, if you pre-ordered, you go into a different line than if you haven't. And so I was like, can I add something on? I mean, my daughter doesn't eat a lot. So I was like, whatever, she'll eat part of my meal if it's a big deal. But she just added the meal right there, which was wonderful. And it was part of our, it ended up being part of our, you know, ticket that we put on the table. So it ended up being fine.
Yeah. Well, again, they were able to accommodate you easily.
Yes.
And you liked the meal overall, so.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I used to be a hater about the dinner there, and now I like all the meals. So I think it's pretty, except for it's expensive, which I think is why you chose not to eat there for dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good choice. I wrote down that you may have had a beer guest pre-park opening breakfast reservation. Was that the next day or not?
Nope, that was supposed to be the day that we ended up doing Hollywood Studios instead of Magic Kingdom. I dropped that pretty early because I knew at that point that the kids would not get up early. And then that ended up being like our relaxing day. Okay. So I ended up dropping it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to jump back to Magic Kingdom because you had lunch at Beer Guest and this was your last full park day. So how did you finish your last full park day?
We just ended up doing a bunch of rides that we didn't end up doing any of the other time, like the Barnstormer, Astro Orbiter, people. Well, we did the People Mover both a lot of the days, but we had had the day that we were supposed to go to Magic Kingdom that we didn't go. We had a fast pass for the Speedway, which no one really was interested in. So I didn't like try and reschedule one. And then my son really, really wanted to do it. So they ended up doing that instead of the fast pass that we had to meet Tinkerbell, which was more for me than anybody else. So they ended up waiting in the standby line for that, which was pretty long because we had a 6:30 reservation at Disney Springs at Homecoming. So that was like the last thing we did before we left the park was they did the Speedway, my husband and my son.
So you hit the Speedway and then you hopped on a bus to go to Disney Springs?
Yep.
And did you have other things? Did you do other things besides Homecoming?
We did some shopping before and after our reservation. My kids had like two birthdays and a Christmas in between when we booked our trip and when we left. So they had quite a few gift cards. So we ended up doing a bit of shopping and then we went to at like World of Disney and then we went to dinner and then they wanted to hit up the Lego store after dinner.
It's Disney Springs, a good place to be in the evening. That's another one that's just so hot during the day.
Yeah, we talked about it. I was like, we want to come back and like, you know, do like a parents' night out type of thing, like at Disney Springs, because it was so nice and it's so different than when it was like downtown Disney, or like what downtown Disney was before. Like it definitely was like a place where it felt like places similar to like up here in Boston, like where you could just like go and hang out. And I was definitely surprised by the people walking around with open containers because I was like, is there no open container law in Florida that I don't know about? But it seems like it's just in the Disney Springs area you can walk around with drinks.
It's like Vegas.
Yeah, it was like I was so it's like shocked, and I was like, wait a minute, is that a, like at first I saw someone with like a cocktail, and I was like, well, maybe it's like a smoothie or something, and then I was like, no, that person has a beer. So I was surprised, but then when we were leaving, I did see signs that said no drinks past this point. I didn't really see anybody around that would enforce it, but I saw the signs when we were leaving.
Mm-hmm. And Homecoming was good.
It was amazing. I wish we had not had that lunch because it was like the one meal where I felt like I did not eat enough and I felt awful because the food was so good that it was something like I would want to take like a relaxing day and go to Disney Springs and eat there for lunch and then I would be full for the entire day eating there. It was such a good meal. Like we got an appetizer and all got entrees and all got dessert, you know, because those pieces were included in the dining plan. We paid for the appetizer, but it was just such good food.
You make me hungry for it.
it was amazing. Like, I can't. Like, I still feel bad about the amount of food I left behind just because we had eaten so much that day.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. There's so many places to choose from at Disney Springs.
Yeah,
and most of them are really good. So, Good luck. Good. It's a good place to eat.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so after that, you probably headed back to your resort, right?
Yeah.
And then how did your departure day go?
So that night we got back, I don't know, reservation was at like 6:30, and I think we got back to our room by like 9 o'clock, maybe a little bit earlier. So the adults packed everything. So that when we got up in the morning, we could literally just shower, put our dirty clothes somewhere and in a bag and get out of there. So we were out of our room by 8 a.m. We did the airline check-in at the resort, which was super easy. No one else was there. JetBlue had increased their bag prices. So we were like, they were like dealing with that all day. I guess they had increased them the day before and people were not being super friendly about it. So they were like very concerned that we would be upset, but I was like, it's not a big deal, whatever. It's nothing we can do about it now. So they were super helpful. And then, we brought like our carry-ons around to the luggage drop and left them there until we came back to get our transportation back to the airport.
Mm-hmm. You're like a pro.
Yeah. I did so much research on like how to make this, and like, you know, I made sure to find where everything was before that morning because I didn't want to be like dragging 17 suitcases and a stroller and all of our junk around the entire resort.
Yeah, I think some people are afraid to plan too much on their departure day because they don't know how that's going to work, but you're doing it just right.
Okay.
So after going to Bell Services and dropping off your carry-ons, where did you go?
We went to Epcot, and we were there by 9:30, and they opened at 9.
Not bad.
No, we had a 10:30 Akershus breakfast. And I was like, oh, I don't know if we're going to make it. Like, I'm really worried that we're going to cut it close. But we had obviously plenty of time. And I think it's just like we had a plan and we got ourselves in gear and we were able to, like, do everything we needed to do. If there were lines, I think we still would have been fine. But we didn't hit any snags along the way.
Yeah.
So it was nice. We did Spaceship Earth and we took, like, photos because we never did that, like, our first day in Epcot. And I wanted to have them. And then we just, like, took our time walking to Akershus and then looking at all the food booths because they were open. They were going to be open that day, I think, at 11. So it was about an hour before they were opening. So people were there, like, getting ready and getting set up.
And all the bloggers are there ready to take pictures. And
yep, I had seen pictures, like, the day before on, like, Instagram, like, you know, when I was looking through my phone before I went to bed. And I saw, like, all the Instagram pictures, and I was like, oh, I want to go there and there and there, which didn't end up happening, but, you know, I would plan that part better next time.
Yeah. But you had lots of good food, even without Food and Wine. How did you like Akershus?
We liked it a lot. Like, again, it's one of those things that you read online where people complain about the food or whatever, but we had good food. And, you know, they bring more of either a whole platter or what pieces of the platter that you would like. So like my daughter basically just ate bacon and so they brought her more bacon. And she loved the princess interaction. I thought it was phenomenal there. I mean, for us, the downside was that the princesses that were there were basically all ones that she had met before because they do the rotating princess schedule, I guess. And you don't know who's going to be there, but she still loved it. They were, like, Ariel was, like, in a different dress than when she met her at Magic Kingdom. And, you know, she hadn't met Aurora. And she was wearing the same, like, I had a matching Belle dress. So, like, Belle was, like, super into it. And it was just a great experience. I felt like the characters who portrayed the princesses across all of the parks were just so great with my daughter. Like, the interactions were all wonderful.
Good. I love that you love that so much. I find it to be the best princess experience.
Yeah. I mean, people had said, like, oh, you should do Cinderella's Royal Table. And I was like, oh, it's so expensive. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just going to test it out with this one because it's just part of our dining. So, like, it's not going to be, like, two table services or pay out of pocket. And what if she doesn't like it? But I really enjoyed it. Like, we would definitely do it again if she was interested in it.
Yeah, I think it's hard to compete with a castle because obviously the castle is the castle. But if you, in terms of just experiences with the princesses, Akershus is hard to beat.
Yeah.
Also, in terms of value of a dining plan credit, really good value because it's only one dining credit at Akershus.
Yeah, and I feel like I tried to avoid breakfast because I felt like it wasn't the best value for a table service. But I really do feel like there it was.
Yes. I think you are right. And especially, I mean, this is your last day, so you had to eat earlier in the day anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So after Akershus, what did you fit in before you had to go head home?
So we ended up walking around the entire World Showcase. We stopped to meet Mulan, where it, like, downpoured for like 20 seconds as we're waiting in line as she's about to come out. So they moved her inside. So we met her, we met Mary Poppins and Alice in Wonderland. And then we just finished our, we took some pictures in France that my son really wanted, cause he wanted like a picture with like the fake Eiffel Tower. And so we walked around the whole showcase and came back and we're Greek. So we wanted to try the Greece booth, since there's no like Greek pavilion. Mm-hmm. So we ended up, we turned some of our quick services into snack credits and we tried like all of the food. And I got a couple extra at the Greek food and wine pavilion.
So you did get to do a little food and wine.
We did a little food and wine. And my husband and I were like, we have to come back and do this, like really do it and try like more food because there were so many things that we wanted to try, but we were just so full. I was like, we definitely have to plan this better the next time.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you planned well, but yes. Now you have other things to look forward to. All right, so then you headed back to your resort to catch yep. the bus, right?
We actually took Orlando Transportation by Mike.
Okay.
There and back. And so our driver, we were there early, so we wanted to use every single credit. So we had like 5 or 6 quick service credits that we got, like sandwiches for the kids and some of the adults. To take to the airport. And then we had like a couple snack credits. So we got like some treats to take home, like the Rice Krispie treats and things like that. So we cleaned out all of our, credits and we just brought that food with us. And then our driver was a little bit early and we were just sitting around waiting. So we headed to the airport early.
And you made it home safely.
Yes.
And now we're talking. Okay, so a few questions
sure.
before we wrap up. Okay, so you had the dining plan and it was free. So I'm going to assume that you thought that that was worth it and worth the hassle and going during the time that it was available and all that.
Yeah.
Because you made good use of all of your credits. You mentioned eating lots of good things. What would you say was your favorite meal?
Oh, that's a tough one. I probably, even though it's the one I eat the least at, probably homecoming, I think, was my favorite.
I am going to eat there on my next trip. I have eaten there before, but you made me want to go back.
Oh, it's so good. And we all had different things and they, you know, we didn't taste everyone's, but like they all looked wonderful. Like, and the kids loved theirs. So nothing but rave reviews from us for that restaurant.
Well, that is high praise. That's a quick service, right?
Oh, no, that's a table service.
That's table service. I always forget.
Yeah.
Some of the new restaurants are quick service, not that one. What was another favorite?
Definitely Ohana and Sanaa. We would definitely go back to both of those.
And next time you could have rare steak.
Yes, and drinks.
Yes.
That was the only downer about this dining plan, that they introduced alcohol and then I could not have a drink.
Yes.
But my brother-in-law and my husband both made up for that. So they both had cocktails at many places that you could have them.
Yeah. It's nice to have that option.
Yeah.
You had Memory Maker this trip.
Yes.
Did you think that was worth it?
Yeah. I mean, we have probably 700 plus photos. I mean, we all had a longer trip than maybe most people, but it was, I mean, the photos that they are able to take. I know that they can do it on your phone and you can give them your phone, but for us, the amount of characters we met plus the Jedi training, it just was really worth it for us.
And I think my last question is, what do you think your kids are going to remember about the trip?
I don't know. I feel like we had such a great experience with my daughter and I feel like she's not going to remember anything because she's so young, which is tough, but you know, we know that she had a good time. I mean, she loved all the meet and greets for every character or princess or whoever it was. So if she were to remember anything, that would probably be it. For my son, he loved the thrill rides. He did a make your own lightsaber, which I think he really loved, plus the Jedi training. I think he'll always remember that.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys were able to get into that so easily.
Yeah.
I think when the kids are too young to have a lot of memories, it's really for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have lots of good memories about your 3-year-old, even if she doesn't. So, all right. Is there anything you wanted to mention before we wrap it up?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I appreciate that you took so much detailed notes and you were able to recall them because it's been very helpful.
Okay.
And I think people are going to like it. So I appreciate it. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that trip report. I do have a really great quick tip to share with you today before we wrap it up. This one was emailed in by Jennifer A. And she says, I have a Flight of Passage quick tip for guests without fast passes. My husband was not able to join me at Animal Kingdom, so I decided to go by myself anyway. I did not have a fast pass or Flight of Passage, but it was a relatively short 65-minute wait, so I decided to go for it. After about 20 minutes of waiting, I reached the part of the line where the cast member asked you how many people are in your party. I said one, and much to my delight, she guided me to the right-hand side of the queue, which appeared to have a special single rider line next to the Fastpass line. All the other non-Fastpass guests were guided to the left, and they still had a significant wait ahead of them. There was one other guy ahead of me, which meant I only had to wait about 5 more minutes, which cut my total wait time to only 25 minutes. So my quick tip is to say, if you're a single rider and don't mind getting separated from your touring buddy, you can do this at Flight of Passage. The guy in front of me was in my same group, so it's possible you may not even be separated. So, Jennifer, this is a really fantastic quick tip, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit. First of all, I feel silly that I have not said this myself, because as you all know, I travel by myself a lot, so I have been on Flight of Passage by myself, and I have seen this happen, but for some reason did not think to translate that into a tip for other people to use. So this is good. I wanted to also clarify that Flight of Passage technically has a single rider line that was built. So when you enter the line, there's a standby line, there's a fast pass line, and there's a place for single riders, but they don't use it. So instead, they do what Jennifer says, which is they let you go through the standby, and then if you're a single rider, they split you off, and then you get to board earlier. So this is a fantastic idea, and it's sort of a improv single rider line as opposed to an official one like exists in a few of the other places at Disney World. So that is a very good tip. Thank you for sending that in. I think that will wrap up this episode. For information, including links to things mentioned in this episode and the quick tip written out in case you don't remember it, you can check the show notes in your podcasting app. You can go to the website www.prepsicle.com, click podcast at the top, and scroll to episode 187. Until next time, I will see you on the site.